Dude, and I was so embarrassed to say this at the time. I feel like you. They're like, well, that's normal. I'm like, what? No.
And then Narcotics Anonymous.
No, man. It's normal. Damn, we got three of them here. Jeez.
No pressure.
Hello? Hello?
But, you know, I'd gotten that first sponsor, and I didn't really share too much with him because I didn't really trust anybody. Y'all told me, well, you got trust issues, like old Bruce Roberts used to say. You trust the dope man to get you dope. How you not trust nobody? You know, just go out on a limb and try it. Just try it. That's all we ask, just try it. So I vomited to my first sponsor, and something happened. Something inside calmed this a little bit. It calmed it a little bit just for that day. Just for that day and that moment. And it got a little bit easier to say my name. I'm an addict. I'm Sam and I'm an addict. This is what's going on with me. And in the beginning, there was a lot going on with me. Y'all can imagine. Because y'all been through that. I'm not up here telling you anything that's original. Because it's all been shared before. This is my experience. When I started sharing what was deep down inside bothering me, things started changing for the better. I started thinking a little bit different. And when I was introduced to the steps of Narcotics Anonymous, things started really happening. Things started really changing right here. It was still fucked up here. But right here it started changing. That trust, that bond that I started having with another human being, especially a man, not a woman. Because, you know, I bonded more with the women than the men. But once I started opening up to another guy about all the shit that I thought was messed up with me, he said, man, I've been there before. I've been there. I said, well, all right, how do we fix it? Well, he's like joking with me. He said, well, Sam, it's going to take a long time. Come on, man. You know, I don't know if y'all remember back in the 90s, but there was a commercial that used to come on that said it was called the Schick Program. 7 days in, a couple of day follow-ups. It was an actual deal like that. I'm like, yeah, that's me. No, that wasn't me. Narcotics Anonymous called on me, and I called on them, and all of a sudden, things started happening. When I first got through with the first step, I didn't want to admit anything. I already knew I was an addict. I already knew that before I got in the program. Powerless? Not so much. I could see the unmanageability. I could see that. But when I started going through the steps, the second step, it was easy for me because I was in Narcotics Anonymous and y'all was telling me about your higher power and how y'all come to believe. But whenever my sponsor started breaking it down for me and how it worked for him, it started happening a little bit more in here. And that's when I started believing in this program. From listening face to face with another addict. You know, I can sit in a meeting, hear people share. Boom, solution. I can use that. But when the shit hits the fan, that's the last thing I'm going to grab for, is a solution. But when the four step come around, I didn't want to do it. Of course, who wants to write on the four step with all my garbage? You know, I had it all inside anyway. But they said, no, that ain't the way it works. So what I did, this was my first four step, I wrote a biography. Because every time I went to a meeting, how do I do a four-step? Y'all said just write. I wrote a freaking biography, and my sponsor looking at it like, okay. Now we know about all your stepdads and your mom and your... What about you? What about you? And that's when the tears started coming down, man. I knew this dude was fixing to break me, and I didn't want it. I said, all right, this is what's going on with me. I don't know how to stop using dope. I think about it constantly. I think about it constantly. And he's asked me if I prayed today. No. No. Y'all didn't say that in the beginning. I had to actually do this stuff. You know. And when I started praying about it, the more started being revealed through what he was talking about. And when he pulled my four step out, he was showing me things that I had no clue what was going on with me. And it's not like this topic is good for me because it's not like coming in here and everybody's sharing all this stuff. This is about building that relationship with another human being that believes in me and wants to help me get clean and stay clean. Help me through all the life when life comes knocking on my door. Helps me with that stuff. But he didn't tell me what to do. He made me look for it and do it myself and reach out through the literature, reach out through other people, and reach out and do that. I can't tell you that's what kept me clean for so long. I can't tell you that. What I can tell you is I gave up. I surrendered and started building that relationship with the other guys. With other guys. And I got some damn good friends in this program that know me like the back of their head. And if it wasn't for that sharing individual on individual, I couldn't tell you. And I imagine y'all could guess. I'd be dead. But when I got totally honest with myself and looked the person in the eyes, and I fucking hurt them. And they understood. That's when things started changing on me. You know, I got to ask the speaker on this topic, but there's so much involved in this, and it's like this little bitty excerpt out of this book. I mean, you can go on and on. It's out of the What is an Narcotics Anonymous program. What is it? It's two addicts meeting regularly to help each other stay clean, basically. So fast forward, my sponsor died from the disease of addiction. He decided to go and prove his story. My second one relapsed. My third one relapsed. Fourth one relapsed. Those four of them, yeah. And the fifth one wanted to hang out in the frozen food section in the damn Kroger's. Come on, man. You know, it's like, what the hell? What am I picking all these sick people for? So I shared that in the meeting. They said, what are you doing? So I'm coming to meetings. You know, and I had given them another sponsor. And next thing you know, I was working the program of Narcotics Anonymous, getting the shit out that I needed to get out to be able to open up a little bit more. And there are still things that I do not discuss. Most of my fifth step has already been shared in meetings across the Houston area and some of the other states. But what really got me was my sponsor sat me down and told me that I was an immature little son of a bitch. Yeah. Immature. I'm like, no freaking way. And I was young and dumb and 25 when I got here, man. I was young. I spent my birthday in the rehab. And I was talking to the counselor, but it wasn't the same. It was not the same. Something happened. Man, I cannot explain the feeling that I got when I started talking to another human being, especially a guy, about what was going on. I can't explain it. But I tell you what, it took a little while to get to that point because I was still in my mind. Hello.
Ran her off.
Come on, let's share with us. I really don't know what to share about this. Every other workshop I go to, everybody tells their story. And that's not what it's about. This is about the heartbeat of NA. It's about each one of y'all that helped me stay clean. But there's only one catch. I have to open up. I have to believe in the higher power today that will help me open up to you. And then also the flip side is that I have to be there for the fellow addict. And that's scary as hell. So I don't know what's going on with that other guy. But once they start sharing with me, yeah, I've been there. I've been there too. You know? It's like, can you relate to that? Can you relate to all the drugs that I did? No, not really. Y'all know how to smoke crack, shoot dope, and draw water out of a mud puddle to do your next fix. You know? What about throwing up your pills like Gilbert used to say and pick them up out of the vomit and swallow them again because you don't want to waste it? I related to that dude, and I thought he was joking around when he said that, but I related to that. Now, what about all that pain that you're going through sometimes? Can you relate to that? I can relate to that. I can relate to the emptiness of not knowing what to do next. Am I going to be able to stay clean for next week from whenever I got this birthday party to go to? Am I going to be able to do that? I don't know. That's what was going through my mind. My sponsor would ask me, so what happened? I don't know. And that's one of the most honest answers that I can give you today is, I don't know. If I truly don't know. But what they told me is go through the literature and find it in the literature. Solution's always in the 12. Just like, man, I say that forever, man. Solution's always been in the 12. What next? If find somebody, grab somebody, and then I get bored in recovery. What do? I go down to the rehab down there on Center Street sometimes and talk to the guys down there that are brand new, you know, shaking off that alcohol or the crack. Because I can relate to that pain. I can relate to that. The emptiness of the hole right here. I know just like it was yesterday, my last high. Just like you, I can vividly picture it right now, 26 years ago. And I don't ever want to lose that. The reason why I don't lose that, because I help others. That's what keeps that part burning inside of me, and that's what I do not want to go back to. Because how do I know if you've never done this, if you ever never shared it with me? It doesn't matter. I can see it in your eyes. I can see the pain in your eyes. I can see right now, I guarantee I can see some of the worryingness going on. And I know if you look in my eyes, you see some of that doubt. The doubt. Because sometimes I doubt my recovery because the fact is I've been clean so long. Am I doing it the right way? I question that shit sometimes. I'm not supposed to. How dare am I supposed to question that? But I do. I see people falling off years and years down the line. Fucking scares the hell out of me. But I am not today. This is bone-ass honesty. Today I will not go into a meeting and share you what's going on with me because I am embarrassed. Because this long in the program, I will not tell you what's going on with me. My friends know that. My sponsee knows that. I will not. Because I was taught to seek the solution outside myself into others. And that's what I usually do. Sometimes I'll stay quiet and listen. Sometimes I'll just watch. But every time I hear, it's always a message in something. Always. And I truly believe that, even if it's a negative message. So I know that. I know what not to do. You know? And that's not being here nor there or slamming anybody that's made the wrong decisions. Hell, I made too many damn wrong decisions in my life not to learn through them. And I have repeated poor decisions. But my sponsor would never get on me and tell me what to do. His famous words was, get honest with yourself, Sam. Get honest with yourself. It took me years to get bone-ass honest with myself. It took me 10, 12 years to finally tell you that one little secret that I've been holding on to, that I was supposed to share my first four step. 10, 12 years later, and I always felt there was something missing. Until I opened up. And that's when I knew Narcotics Anonymous was better than I ever dreamed of. Better. Huge. Exposure at the meeting the other day. Welcome. Pull up a chair.
Come on, sit down.
Come on, sit down. If they ain't the speaker, we got one for you up next.
Thanks.
But how long do I got?
We got till 7.
It's 6:07.
Yeah.
Oh, almost done. Oh, man. You know, it's like we got these newcomers coming in our meeting, and some are girls. Believe it or not, we're attracting women to our meeting now because it used to be only a men's meeting for years because Chance of Freedom almost went down. It almost died. 30-year group almost died. We didn't give up. There's guys in here that kept it going. They didn't give up on it. Because they believe someone like me will walk in there and need to share something that I need to help me stay clean that day. They believe that. They believe in Narcotics Anonymous. They believe listening. They're keeping the door open for the addict still suffering. They believe in Narcotics Anonymous. And that's what lit the fire back up me 10 years ago, or 7 years ago. My 20th anniversary, I didn't share birthday nowhere. Because I looked at myself like a little piece of shit because I was not practicing the principles of Narcotics Anonymous. I wasn't sharing with the guy what was going on with me. I was homeless, they call it. Didn't have a home group. I was homeless. And it freaking hurt. And I didn't know what to do next. Except go back, put my ass back on, forget about saving my face because it wasn't worth saving anyway.
No, that's right.
It didn't matter. Well, it came down to it. It didn't matter. Yeah, thank you. I love you too. Yeah. My sponsee, has a badass shirt on that says, I'm my sponsor's favorite.
But
when it was made, I was the only one.
Well, see, that's what I try to carry on through what was shown to me. That's what I was trying to carry on, what was shown to me, to seek the solution myself, because how dare you think I am somebody on a pedestal will solve your problem every time. I cannot do it. And through, or then, steps in Narcotics Anonymous, I was able to figure out that solution with help from you that I had to let go and be honest and start making more meetings. And give them a sponsor. And let them know what's going on. A friend of mine says, I can't say it exactly, but I get in this, man, I wish I could say it. I'll say it, but I can't, because that's his original shit over there. Isolation, I prescribe myself. Can't say it. But anyway, you know what? I'm done.
Thank you, John.
Help me thank Sam for sharing his experience, strength, and hope one more
thank
time.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Sam. And I'm going to make a couple of announcements I don't think was said in the beginning of the meeting. So CDs are not free. They are for sale at the front. I don't know if they're still open right now, but they'll usually be open during the day. And the Hackney Committee is asking that you smoke only in the designated smoking areas, and please put your cigarette butts in the proper place. Thank you for your cooperation. And, you know, sometimes things happen and somebody doesn't show up, you know, and it's okay, because luckily we have heroes step in and decide that they're going to, you know, today she's our hero, so you're going to get to hear her story. She wasn't on the schedule, but she stepped up at the very last minute. This is Stephanie B.
Go Steph.
Okay. So I'm Stephanie. I'm an addict.
Stephanie.
I came all the way from Sioux City, Iowa, to H-Town, Texas.
Yeah.
I got to tell you guys a story about how I got here, because I believe in God incidences, or if you want to call them higher power incidences, whatever you want to call it. So my friend was speaking at a workshop, and I was on the phone with her. We were talking, and she's like, I'm speaking in Houston. And I'm like, you're going to Houston? I'm like, I used to live in Houston. My favorite place in the world is 51 miles south of Houston. I'm like, okay, so if this falls into place and I'm off work and I got the money and they're still plane tickets, I'm going to come with. And so a week later, this fell into place. I'm like, I'm coming. There was plane tickets. I got on a plane. Scared to death of planes, but we got on a plane and here I am. I didn't know till early this morning that I was going to be speaking, but Narcotics Anonymous never told me no. So I'm here and I'm going to do this the only way I know how, and that's through my experience, my strength, and my hope. I do share a little bit of my mess, because like the Friday night speaker was saying, people need to relate. And for me, if people wouldn't have shared part of their mess, I wouldn't have found the connection I needed. If people wouldn't have been chanting during those readings, I wouldn't have found the excitement I needed to hear that attracted me to this program. If there wouldn't have been a group of good-looking men in that treatment facility, I might not have been here today. Okay, so I'm a sexual abuse survivor. I share that because when we share the... What's the topic of this?
Too hard to beat when, or it's the heart of, hold on, hold on. The heart of NA beats when two addicts share their
recovery. Oh, look at that. The heart of NA beats when two addicts share their recovery. I never blamed my drug use on my abuse. I did blame some of the characteristics of my life on that abuse, but today I can come in a room of strangers and I can share about that, okay? So that was my young age, you know. I started using when I was 15, and I didn't stop until I was in my 30s. Okay, so I used every single day of my life for 16 years minus the 44 I was in a juvenile institution. So just like everybody that's here, we felt desperate. We were granted a gift, right? We were sick and tired of being sick and tired, and we were ready to try something different. And if you all got a higher power like mine, they kind of nudged you until you couldn't be nudged anymore. And I got to that point where I was in a basement and I cried every single day of my life for 2 years. just desperate, alone, isolated, trying to fix a family that was unfixable. You know, I was a people pleaser. I grew up with the idea that if I could make you happy, that would make me happy, and I spent my life trying to please people and make them happy. I thought if I shared everything I am with everyone that I could fix this. Well, I couldn't. So, you know, it turned into domestic, and, you know, I was in this relationship for 13 years of my life, and I had to lose absolutely everything, my mind included. I heard things and I saw things in my last day. The DEA was knocking at my door, but they were not there, you know. Very paranoid, alone, just desperate is the best way I can put it. I was granted that gift. When I finally was at my lowest and I got that nudge from a judge to, there was a restraining order keeping me from my house at this time in my life, and my mom was just sick and tired of me having all these consequences, and he wasn't having any, and there was a kid involved in this whole mess, and so she called DHS. You know, DHS got involved with my life, and I remember going to court, and they said, parents, you need to get off your asses. You need to do something different. And I was like, okay, yeah, I need to do something different. I got an evaluation, and I was sent to a treatment center that very day. Okay, so I get there, and I'm like, okay, I'll do what I got to do to get my kid back, right? Because that's what I was going to do, 30 days, go back to my best friend, right? And I got there, and like that first day, that I didn't need anything to feel awake. Like that first day, I noticed the grass was green again, and that like there was something in my spirit that was awoken. And then these people came in, and they called themselves H&I, and they said, "You never have to use again." They made now this group of people, they were smiling and they were happy and they were attractive and they were they had something I wanted, and they shared suggestions like, you need to find a higher power, you know. And for me, I was like, oh, aliens, monkeys, here we are as humans, and I didn't really have any belief, you know, but they suggested it. They shared that suggestion, and I got on this. It was a little bent, and it said believe, and, you know, at first mine was a big ball of glitter, okay? That's what I needed. I put this picture or whatever it was in my head, and I followed the suggestion. And they kept coming every Monday. This group of people would come, and we would be excited, and they said, get a sponsor, go to 90 meetings in 90 days, find a home group and do service. And I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go save people. I'm going to be H&I chair. I'm going to be this light that they were for me, and I'm going to do this. So I did my 30 days at that place, and then my counselor at the time said, look, this is going to be a lot longer than 30 days. After this, you're going to go into this other facility, and then you're going to go into this clean living space, and it's going to be 2.5 years, and my heart sank. You know, I was like, this was just supposed to be 30 days. I need to get back to my family. Like, I don't know if I can do this. What am I going to do without my best friend, you know? And then I got into this facility, and we had our own meetings, and I started the chanting, you know, and I was sharing what I had learned from my experience in there, and then you know, eventually it come to find out that was very disrespectful to the readings, and the chanting went away. But for me and my story, that was important for me in the beginning. So I get to this facility, and, you know, we start going to all these other meetings, and, you know, starting to form a network. They're telling you, look for a sponsor, but we can't really go to a bunch of meetings. So in the beginning, I was an alcoholic and a addict and codependent, and you know, and it was through members with experience sharing with me that we're all inclusive, you know. And I caught on. I remember when I asked my first sponsor to be my sponsor, she's like, I don't know if I can sponsor you, we speak two different languages. And I was like, oh man, but I really want you to be my sponsor, you know. I'll work with you, tell me the language. Let me know whatever it is I need to do, and I'll do what I need to do. So she taught me about being clean. You know, and she taught me about the all-inclusiveness, that if I have a problem, whatever it is, we can help. So the sharing that took place through H&I, even through the staff at the treatment center, started to form my foundation of recovery. They said go to so many meetings a week, so I started going to 3 meetings a week. I found a home group. My home group is Guardian Angels 1. It's on Sunday nights in Sioux City, Iowa, and I'm really sad that my home group's struggling right now. You know, there's some conflict going on that members have voiced their opinions about, and there's a lot of controversy going on, and I might have to find a new one. You know, but thanks to this program, I know that I'm able to take care of myself and do that when I need to do it. You either grow or go, right? Mm-hmm. So I got the home group. It's been my home group for the last 7 years, and I've been a part of. After I got out of the facilities, I did become that H&I chair, and I went into facilities, and I got us into the adolescent center, and we were going into a jail, and we were going into the facility that I had come from. And there, you know, sometimes there was 3 of us, and sometimes there was 10 of us, and we went religiously, and we carried the message. And the feeling that I got when I walked into a meeting after somebody had graduated from that facility, and they said, hey, because of what you said, I'm here right now. You guys, if you've ever done it, you know that feeling, okay? And if you haven't done it, I'm going to suggest you go somewhere and share and give yourself a chance to get that feeling, because that's better than any drug I've ever known. You know, the feeling that you just, something you said, see, I'm getting God bumps just talking about it. Something you said might have been the light bulb that the H&I panel gave me that said, I'm going to do this someday, and I'm going to keep on doing it. So through the H&I, through that, eventually, you know, after we've been here a while and we've been working steps with our sponsors, then they're like, okay, it's time for you to take some sponsees. And, you know, the sharing, I remember working through my steps and the same thing you were talking about, like getting that gut-wrenching honest, just talking with someone, looking them in the eye, being able to say all the stuff that you're just like, oh, I know the look they're going to give me when I say this, and having them just hug you instead, you know. And, my first step was really long, you know. That's a really long, all those 69 questions, getting to know them, you know. And then it talks about the feeling you get when you're kind of empty after that. And then the second step came along, and the higher power formed, and thank God for step 3, and I'm not alone. And when it came to do my fourth step, I remember I had to blurt out the thing that I was most scared to tell first, because I was going to trick myself not into not having to tell her. And now I can share that with my sponsees. Like, if there's something you're really scared to tell me, I want you to tell me now, because for me, that's what I had to do. And I can share that experience through them. I think the beautiful thing about this program is there is no wrong or right way to do this thing. And I think sometimes we question, you know, whether or not we're doing it right or wrong. And I have to remind myself there is no right or wrong. You know, we all do it at our own pace or our sponsor's pace, whatever that pace may be. And as long as we don't pick up, no matter what, we're doing it right. You know, that and carrying the message. Our primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. So as long as we are still clean, and we're sharing the message that an addict, any addict, can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new and better way to live, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, you know, and there's some comfort that can come with that. So in my 7 years, I've only worked a full set of 12 steps, plus I'm on step 4 again, you know, but I feel like it's all happened exactly how and when it's supposed to happen. Like, the events of my life fall right where I'm supposed to be working the step. And then with my sponsees, sharing with them, I add a little bit of something with each sponsee I get. So through my experience, I'm able to help them and share with them just a little bit more. Let's see. There were so many different facets of sharing that. So I'm a nurse. I went through nursing school while I was using, and then I had enough smart to quit once I got to that point where I could get in trouble or injure somebody. And then I went back in very scared. I worked in a nursing home for 4 years, and then they tried to get me to work this job that I didn't know without any training. And so I impulsively applied for this other job, and it's at the recovery center that I went into, except I'm working with a population of adolescents, suicidal adolescents. So these adolescents are cutting, okay, and I didn't know anything about this cutting, and then somebody put it into the perspective that they cut just for the same reasons that we're picking up whatever it is we're picking up. So in that realm of my life, I'm able to share my experience. I don't need to get into the using, but I relate with the feelings. I relate with the desperation, and I relate with the needing an outlet, you know. So even in my job, I'm able to share, you know, and do those sorts of things. Let's see, what time is it? 6:24. Okay, we still got lots of time. So, you got more to say now?
God's done, he's done.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah. When God's done, he's done. I just got to say, I am super duper grateful for this program and the power that comes when one addict shares with another. Like I said, it's better than any drug I've ever used, any high I've ever felt. And yeah, when God's done, he's done. So I'm gonna shut up.
All right.
Thank you.
Stephanie, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us.
30
more minutes. Yeah, I mean, I guess we're just going to shut it down. Has anyone else been in a meeting that stopped early? Did they do something different than this?
We just circled up and left.
All right.
I have a question.
Thank you for allowing me to you have a question?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Is anybody in this room that's got something going on, man, that needs to get that shit out? This is the time to do it because we're all here. We'll hug you.
Right.
I'm serious, man. Is anybody in here that needs to get something out?
We got time. Anybody needs
help? My name's Ramsey. I'm an addict.
Hi, Ramsey.
I'm from Austin, Texas, from Miracle Solutions. And
welcome.
I just want to say, you know, this is my first getaway since I've been clean since January 17th of this month, this year. And this is my farthest drive to go to recovery. And y'all are doing an awesome job, man. Really thank you. And for everybody to show up to let me know that, you know, I'm not, you know, Austin's not the only affected place.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Glad you're here, man.
Glad you're here.
This right here is not possible without y'all. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
We're the world's largest fellowship that no one wants to come in, but no one wants to leave.
My name's Don, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don.
Grateful to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous today, and I'm very grateful for the people that have the patience and the love for me, you know, that I never felt. And you know, it's awesome to see. I got a you know, 2 months ago I got a thing in the, you know, on Messenger that said, hey, I'm going to be in Houston because I'm from Sioux City, Iowa as well. You know, and I'm going to be in Houston, and you know, I'm glad that I could be here. You know, and you know, it's good to see people from my hometown, you know, because my hometown is something, you know, that I cherish a lot. It's hard for me to go back to. And, you know, and I went back there last year in August, and I left in December. You know, but you know, the love of this program carried that.
Glad you're here.
I'm glad that I'm here, and I'm glad y'all are part of the program. I'm John. I'm glad.
Thanks for sharing, John.
Hi, Laura. Yeah, Miracles and Solutions. So, I'm originally from Austin, Texas as well. So, and then January 1st was my birthday of this year. And on January 2nd, I made a trip to Boulder City to go to treatment. And I took suggestions and moved. I went to sort of living down there and I stayed. And my very first convention was they left out on a path to go to Suburban. And so I was out and I went to Suburban just for a day. And that was my first convention experience. And then once I got out, we had a trip for it. And on the beach. from Miracle. Down there to speak, and she was awesome. But since then, I've also gotten to go, we had RDS, the Governor of Bugs Meet, down there for a couple days on the beach, which was awesome. But I also got to ride with my sponsor, San Antonio, and I got to meet another person, another girl I meet you there, and which I just ran into downstairs. And so, like, she stopped and she's like, looked at me, and I was like, I don't remember you, and I remember where I was seated, but it's awesome that I keep meeting people from other cities and then running into them at other cities. And, you know, last night I was at a newcomer meeting, and I got to listen to four awesome stories, two of them, you know, so young, but that's I'm 41, and to be able to listen to two very young girls that are so similar, so a lot of similarities as far as going to a new city, but walking up to a meeting and being jealous of this, their family was way more their family than their actual family. You know, they went to go visit their family, and then when they came back home, they were welcomed with open arms way more than they were when they actually walked in to see their family. And that was the same thing with me. You know, I went home to go home for court, and, you know, even when I went home to go to court, I was about to get the phone because I had a number from a woman from Austin that came in to visit, and my friend of mine was like, the reason why you have a number, go to her meeting when you're there. So I picked up, and I ran into her downstairs, you know, that's the meeting. And, you know, so there's a reason why we all have these connections everywhere, right? And it's amazing that I keep seeing all these people, and the way I feel about the people that are in culture that are much older too, I don't know what I could do without them because they get me through everything that I've been through so far. And I know we live to work for ourselves, but I tell you what, I've learned so much from them, and I've learned a lot from them.
Glad you're here.
Glad you're here.
Glad you're here.
Keep coming back.
Thank you for asking me, or I don't know who Julian asked me. I appreciate it. Thank y'all for coming to see me. Had somebody come down from White Rite or wherever over there by Dallas come down and see me. Also, if y'all interested in the Texas State Convention, get with her after meeting over in that green shirt. Thank you,
all
Stephanie,
right.
For stepping
Thank
up.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks for allowing me to serve as your chairperson for this workshop. Will you please join me in making a circle and closing the meeting with a third step prayer? God, like how they split in two words.
Like how God, 301.
I'm John from Canada. I can
see you. Where are we going? We're going to grab one.
I'm Hey, baby. Hey, baby.
Oh, you sure is pretty.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
October. They're not bad. I mean, it's just, you know, yeah, nothing's really changed. Like, so I'll probably end up moving back here when we get done in a year there. I just told them, like, I'm giving us another year, but. Yeah. No, for sure, but, like, it just takes way too much trouble to try to do all that while we're overseas, so.
Yeah.
All right. Let me, I will get back with you.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Yeah?
That I am sorry, I can't make it till 10:15 tonight.
Okay.
I'm just too
What were you supposed to be doing?
The 10:15 number 7.
The what?
10:15. Karen, the 10:15 meeting in number 7.
Okay, I'll let him know. I'm sure
okay.
that he can probably find someone to pick it up.
Yeah.
I'm looking for him now, actually. Okay, yeah, get some rest, man. Do you know anyone that has a radio nearby?
Huh?
Do you know anybody that has a radio nearby? I'm trying to find Julian. Hello?
Julian? He told me in the banquet.
He said he wasn't going. Oh. I'll go look, though.
I would go there.
All right. Do you have a radio?
Yes, I do.
Can you see where Julian is? I need to return these recorders to him or find out who needs to take them. They're just the recorders for the meeting. It was 3 in one room, but I didn't know if they wanted me to leave them in there or return them. So, and then I have a message for him too. I'll text him that. You know what?
You sure?
I'll just leave them in there. Let me see him. I'm going to take him back. He told me to leave him just now. He just responded to me. All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Never mind.
Sure.
Yes, I'm good. I'm sure. Thanks. Wait, what are you doing right now?
I am about to go have a cigarette.
Okay, could you do me like a humongous favor?
Sure.
Can you take these back to room 10? It's literally like up to the second floor and it's right there. Do you mind just go put them
not
back on the
all.
Table where they where we were doing like this, you know, the chairperson sit.
Were you in there?
No.
Did you go to the meeting up there?
I was in like Ryan W.
No.
Ryan W. Is he the one that would come
has
to our
dread?
Yes, I
love
him.
You did. I know. I was sharing
he
during another
spoke?
Meeting. I couldn't go. Yes. Just now. But you know what? They're all going to be recorded, so you'll hear it. But yeah, I wish I could have been there too in person. My parents are on their way here, and I got to nurse her before they pick her up.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay, so number 10
the only reason
is
I'm asking you. Yeah, second okay. floor, and then 10 is like right off the elevator.
Right there.
Thank you so
okay.
much, Denise.
No problem. You take care. Hey there. How are you doing, Robert?
Good, how are you?
Good to see you. I wondered where he is. Anyway, I'll let y'all do your work. I am going to hang around here, and I'm watching for Linda and Tom to
yeah,
take it back.
Bad.
So, yeah. Thank I'm going to